Hello, and welcome to your new favorite podcast. No, I'm just kidding. It's already your favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And this is actually our podcast for Avatar Last Airbender. This is small screen couch commentary.
Avatar The Last Airbender.
Netflix edition.
I like it. I like that.
The title of the episode was called Omashu.
Yeah.
Which I remember Omashu very well.
Third episode of the Netflix version of Avatar. And it is going up and down for me throughout these first three episodes.
It is.
We'll save the talking for later, but
give me your rating. Give me your rating first before we go.
Hold on.
Before we want to jump into food.
Before
first?
We yeah.
Jump into food first.
Yeah. Because let me tell you, I was getting
smorgasbord.
Very close. Ooh. Very close. Chris and I ordered Chinese.
Oh.
And I got down.
Was it by the place by my house?
Yes. Love that place. Love that place. Yeah. Shout out China's Best Oregon Pike.
We'll eat it on stream.
Sponsorship deal? Mm. Maybe.
Could be you. So anyway, yeah. So you had Chinese, but what kind of Chinese?
Oh, I get the same order every time. General Tso chicken, house fried rice, which if you don't know, I'm going to put you on. House fried rice is a mixture of all the fried rices. Usually always an upcharge, but well worth it. And then steamed dumplings.
Nice.
Yeah.
I really like orange chicken, but from there I always get the bourbon chicken.
Nice. What were you snacking on or eating during this episode?
Not as fancy as you. You know, but I had a nice turkey and cheese sandwich.
Ooh.
With mayonnaise.
Ooh, okay.
A little extra mayonnaise.
Important question. What kind of mayonnaise do you use? Or what kind of mayonnaise would you use if you could choose any?
I mean, Hellman's is great. I think Duke's.
Yo, Duke's healthy backup.
Yeah.
I do like Hellman's.
Yeah.
But I love some Duke's. I think that's what we got right now.
Duke's is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fatties. We love mayonnaise too. It's so good.
I know.
Now, here's the funny thing, real quick. I don't want to go off in tangent world. My wife hates mayonnaise.
I know a couple of people that do.
And
I don't think it's that uncommon.
It makes her sick. But she'll make me a sandwich sometimes, and she's like, it makes me so sick to do it. I'm like, at least I know you love me.
That's
like,
love.
Willing to go through that.
That's L-O-V-E there.
Appreciate you. Yeah, so
ratings.
We got food, so let's hit up the ratings. What'd you give this one?
I went 8.0. I came back up.
What?
I came back up.
Wow.
I came back up. I have my reasons. I have my reasons. And I knew you were going to react this way. And given your reaction to the show overall, I want to get into that. I want to talk about that because I've come into it with a different perspective. I know we're only three episodes in here, but I'm looking at the show from a very different perspective right now.
Okay.
So we'll save that chit-chat for a little bit
later.
Yeah,
actually, I want to touch on what you were kind of bringing up here about looking at it from a different perspective after I go from mine.
What was your rating?
Before I get into my rating.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, everybody, I like this show.
Right.
In fact, I'm very excited because at this moment, we found out a few days ago.
Yes.
Season 2 and 3 are going to be on Netflix. They're going to make a season 2 and 3.
They greenlit it, and that is super dope. Yeah. Obviously, at this moment in time, Netflix is confident about how the show's performed so far and its future. So I'm assuming, and I know you've watched ahead. I haven't yet. I've been wanting to, but I just haven't for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're going to do, you know, books 2 and 3 for seasons 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, one,
is
if it gets
a world
that far.
Where they don't do book 2 and 3 for season 2 and 3, where they kind of split them up?
No.
I don't think so.
No,
either.
I don't think so.
I kind of wish
they did. I agree. I wish the seasons were a little bit longer. Eight episodes is not enough, in my opinion, to tell the Avatar story. In comparison to the original, anyway, in a way that I feel will satisfy
everyone.
Yes, but mostly the OG fans, which is something I want to talk about during this episode of our podcast here.
Yeah.
But that being said, I wonder two things. One, are they going to go past that then? Are they maybe, if seasons 2 and 3 are successful, do they do Legend of Korra?
If season 2 and 3 are successful, yeah.
Do they do other stuff? And also, here's my fear. Just because streaming in general has gone on such a roller coaster ride since its inception. Streaming was a big way to get away from cable, to get away from, you know, Comcast and other services that, you know, made sense at the time when streaming debuted to just be like, hey, any original content we're putting out there is awesome, and we're going to stick with it for a while. Like, some stuff stayed by the wayside, whatever, but for the most part, anything that was successful lasted. Whereas these days, you might have a season, and it's successful, and then you might get announced for another season or two or three or whatever, and then after, you know, midway through the next season, it gets cut. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty clear with streaming services like HBO, which have, or well, Max now, which have cut shows. I'm pretty sure all the big streaming services, Netflix included, yeah, have cut shows that were successful. So yes, they greenlit seasons 2 and 3, but that doesn't mean we're actually going to get them.
Right. No, I think they're more strict than cable television was on ratings.
Well, they have a lot more data to go off of.
They do. And I mean, I think it's a little bit, these are movie quality shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, so I think good point to touch on that we talked about was, so I'm going to give you my rating.
Yes.
I gave it a 7.3.
Okay. Okay.
Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. It's a show of up and down for me. And I think we had said this, 8 episodes, I don't think is enough.
Yeah.
I think just overall, I think the show is going to suffer from only having 8 episodes just as a TV show itself, because there is a big story to tell. So certain things have to be rushed. I think as of somebody who hasn't seen the show, it still might feel a little rushed. Not as much as I might feel it.
I don't think fans who haven't watched the original get that. They don't have any basis for comparison. And maybe that's one of the things I want to talk about.
But you also
during this episode,
characters that come through and they're gone. You know what I mean?
True.
And it is an adventure, so they're going to meet people in a world. So I get that. I do want to say I had a buddy who never saw the animated series. Shout out to Roberto, who's one of our first subs.
Nice. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, he went in watching it. And he was like, I'm addicted. He never saw the animated series. So I'm seeing that. And I do my best to come in with like the perspective, like, this is not going to be the same. And I'm okay at it. But there are times where I'm like, maybe you should still do that the way the animated show did it.
Yeah.
But anyway, 7.3, enjoyable episode. We've got a little bit of fanfare in it too for us, which I'll touch on later, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was up and down.
It was. Well, so I think this episode itself was more level than episode 2. Episode 2 I felt was very, you know, like this, where this one was kind of just more calm. But I think just the show in general, like episode 1, I loved it. I know you had your opinions on it.
It was very good, but not.
Right. Second episode, I didn't like it as much. You liked it more.
Yeah.
So for me, it was down. Whereas this one, I'm back to liking it. And there was a few reasons why. So I want to get into what happened in the episode.
Let's do it.
Then I want to talk about my reasons why I liked it, and then my shift in perspective that I've had for watching the show now.
All right. Well, let's get this show on the road, they say. We do open up. They're on their adventure. They're on Appa's back. And that's not how we open up.
No.
Sorry. I just jump right into Aang's world sometimes.
You do.
Yeah.
All do.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to go ahead and tell us the opening?
Well, so Team Avatar, fresh off of what had happened at Kyoshi
Island,
they're ready to get out of there because they realize, okay, we've got to get Aang on his travels here, to get to the next stage of being the Avatar. So, I mean, it's not far until they get to Appa.
Yeah.
But I do want to touch on something here that I've seen rumbling around the internet, and I've wanted to talk about this since our first episode. I want to say this, as much opinion as we're giving, and I know you haven't seen it or run into it as much as I have seen way too much hate on the show.
Agreed.
On the internet.
Agreed. Yeah.
I'm very up and down with it. You're very up and down with it. I have, as far as, I guess what critics are saying, I don't really pay attention to that. But what I'm seeing on TikTok, what I'm seeing on Reels and stuff.
Media.
Yeah. Social media is tearing the show apart. There are some people who are saying that it's good and that they like it. But I feel like it's getting way too much
hate. What? I don't think those people are giving their honest opinion of the
show. No, not at all.
Either they're doing it for clickbait or they're doing it because they wanted an exact clone. And then it's like, but why? Why do you want an exact clone of the animated show? Just watch
the animated show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. Yeah. Stop hating on it.
Yeah.
Stop.
Sorry. Pick back up, though.
But yeah, so they open up actually in the Fire Nation capital.
Yes, I forgot.
There is a group of rebels who want to kind of sneak into the castle and assassinate Fire Lord Ozai. Fun fact, big Supernatural fan here. The head of the rebels character named Kevin on Supernatural, Scribe of God.
Dude, first off, you find a way to connect Supernatural to like everything.
Yeah.
But yes, I forgot about that. That whole opening, I don't remember if that ever happened in the animated show. And this is where I had the revelation and the shift in perspective that I want
to
talk about.
This didn't happen. This is your introduction to... So anyway, they have a way into the castle. It's through somebody who works at the castle.
Yeah, somebody that's like a handmaid type person.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, she's like just like us. She's gone through all these troubles and everything, so she's going to get us in. She gets them in. They get right to the throne room of Fire Lord Ozai, which, by the way, I love the way they do the throne room so far.
Yeah, and yeah.
Fire Lord Ozai, phenomenal guy.
Daniel Day Kim, because this is the first time we see him, right? No, second time.
A little more scene.
This is the first time we hear him speak, I think, though.
Yes, I think so.
Either way, love Daniel Day Kim. The way that they dressed him, the costume, the makeup, everything, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And just the way he carries himself
is great.
I think he's great. And this is the thing that, you know, kind of irks me a bit, is I think there are so many pockets of goodness in this show that when you get those pockets of not good stuff, it's frustrating because it's like, man, it has such potential.
It does. I mean, the story is so good, so it does have huge potential. But my boy Kevin, as I'm going to call him, gets in the throne room because he's Kevin from Supernatural. They're getting ready to, like, oh, we're going to get Fire Lord Ozai. It's a trap.
Yeah.
It's like Star Wars says, it's a trap.
Oh, for sure.
And turns out the insider is actually Princess Azula, which is now his first time meeting Princess Azula.
Right.
She tricked them to thinking she was a handmaid, and bam, they get trapped. And they know they're going to die.
Right. And they went in there, even if Azula wasn't Azula and it was some other person that actually worked at the palace, that was a suicide mission for them, and they knew it.
Yeah. So they're like, screw it. Kevin starts going off like, well, there is someone out there who's going to bring balance to the world. And obviously he's talking about Aang, the Avatar.
Right.
And they die.
Yeah. Ozai lights him up.
Dude, brutal.
And this is the thing. So it's like, they have shown now multiple people
getting burnt
alive, like very little cutaways.
Yeah.
Like they're showing them going up in flames, screaming. And I'm just like,
turn into crispy toast that you put in the toaster too long.
Yeah. But it's like, this is another thing that I'm like, okay, well, who is this show for? Because if they're trying to market this to children, or maybe not children, but even younger, you know, kids or whatever, like, I don't know if this is appropriate.
Right. And I think that's sometimes my issue, is like, they don't have their identity yet.
Right.
Are they more of an adult show, or are they for kids?
Yeah.
And it's hard to make a show for both. It's not impossible.
Absolutely.
But it's hard. But yeah, he burns them to a crisp, and Azula's like, the Avatar, they really think he's alive.
Right.
And Fire Lord Ozai, like, everybody get the fuck out. And he goes, Princess Azula, Zuko found the Avatar. You stupid little girl.
Yeah, he did the impossible.
Yeah.
He John Wicked it.
He John Wicked it. So, and that pisses her off. And you know what? This moment, I'm like, so far, so good on Azula. She makes a face, and she kind of like has this weird, like, I don't know, lip movement. And she goes, the Avatar, really?
Yeah.
And I'm like.
And you can see that she's like.
Evil in her.
Right, right. And you know she's upset because she. It's not spelled out yet, but she hates Zuko.
Yeah.
She does not want him to succeed at anything.
No. And I was happy with the scene. So decent start to the show for me, the episode for me.
Yeah.
But now we get to Team Avatar up on Appa's back, bareback. No, they're not barebacking it. They have. Sorry.
He's got a saddle.
He's got a saddle.
He's got a saddle.
Dude, Aang does ride on the front, though, sometimes, which is kind of cool,
yeah.
You know, seeing him like on Appa's head. But as they're flying just in the sky on their adventure, they see what looks like somebody else using a glider like an airbender would.
Right.
Flying in the sky. So they're trying to follow this person, and that leads them to the city of Omashu.
Right.
I just rapped, by the way. That led them to...
Bars. The
city of Omashu.
Bars.
Bars. And again, I think this looks just like how I would picture Omashu in a live-action version of the Avatar. Very happy with this. But there's a big line outside, and they need to get in.
Yeah, Umashu's being safeguarded because of the entire war that's been going on for 100 years now.
They've done a good job of defending Omashu.
Right, right. They've, you know, Omashu's an earthbending kingdom, mm-hmm. and it's one of the last earthbending strongholds in the entire world. And so they're being very cautious with who they're letting into the city.
Yeah, very.
And there's a
very
reason cautious. For that.
Yeah. So they're in line. It's a very long line to get into Omashu. And then this one random guy's like, "You guys aren't from around here, are you?" And they're like, "How can you tell?" And then they look at him. It's like, well, you got one airbender, and you got these other people wearing, like, as if they're playing in the snow.
Right.
So, like, yeah, okay. He decides to help him. He has a cart, so he throws two of them in the back, puts Katara up front.
Gives them some clothes.
A little flirty, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
and he helps them get in. They do a nice little, like, trick, like, "Oh, this is my wife. We're bringing in stuff from farming."
Turnips, I believe it was.
Yeah. Now, I want you guys to note, there's a guy pulling cabbages into Omashu. I want you to note that, all right?
Yeah. If you're an OG fan, you know who this is.
Yeah. So they get in town. Basically, right away, a building explodes. There's a kind of a terrorist group of Fire Nation people blowing up. They're attacking.
Right, right.
What were they being told?
And this is happening as they find the person who was using the air glider.
Yes.
Aang's a little disappointed because he realizes it's not an airbender. He thought it was, and he's like, "Oh, maybe I found, like, one of my people."
Yeah.
It's clearly not.
It's actually a kid in a wheelchair who has his glider. Turns out, we'll find out soon, that his dad is
the mechanist.
Mechanist. Basically, he just builds things. So one of the things he built is air glider for his kid to
right.
be able to fly in, which is a storyline in the animated show, but has nothing to do with Omashu.
No.
It actually
no.
takes place at the other air temple.
Right.
But, again, you only have 8 episodes. You've got to put this in here. So I'm yeah. not, like, mad. I understand why they're doing this.
This episode actually blends a lot of stuff from...
Wait till you see next episode.
Oof,
but
okay.
I'm not going to say anything about that. And so, yeah, they meet the kid. Things blow up. Aang and Team Avatar is trying to help save some people from the explosion. And it's kind of like... almost reminds me of a disaster movie. At the end of it.
A little bit.
And people are, like, crying on the side. It's, like, real emotional.
Yeah.
And realistic.
Well, their city just got attacked by terrorists.
Yeah. They go into it. It's not like, oh, it blew up. Let's go to the next scene. They show you how, like, it affects Aang's feelings.
Right.
But then, yeah, this, I can't remember the kid's name.
Teo.
Thank you. Teo. His dad, the mechanist, comes out. Played by none other than Danny Pudi. Dan Pudi? From Community.
Was Abed. That him?
That's Abed.
No.
Yeah, it's Troy and Abed.
I don't think I realized that.
How would you not know that's
Dude,
Abed?
He's like got the hair and the...
I'm disappointed.
I didn't realize that.
Everybody else, if you notice it right away, give Alex some hate in the comments. Thank you very much.
That is crazy. I mean, I see it now that you've pointed it out. But wow. And even like I can hear his voice now.
Yeah.
That's
I can't believe
crazy.
You watched the whole episode and didn't realize who that was.
Well, first off, I never really watched Community.
I thought you did.
No. I mean, I've seen clips.
You're a big Childish Gambino fan.
Yeah, but I just never watched Community.
Wow.
I know about Community.
Podcast.
I know
Community?
It's coming back.
For a movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do
but
it.
But man, I kind of want to go back and watch this episode now just to see him again.
Yeah.
It was, all right.
Yeah, and he did. I think he did a great job. But they meet, they go in his house, they see he has all these inventions that he's working on, like blimps and stuff.
Right,
like that.
Right.
And they kind of just talk about what's going on in the city.
Don't they, in this episode, credit him too with the delivery system in Omashu?
They might. I don't know, because I feel like Aang knew about that already.
So Aang knew about that in the original version, because right. he had gone to Omashu before he, you know, was frozen in the ice.
He has, like, a friend there.
Right, right, which we'll get to. But in this episode, I feel like Teo says that his dad,
maybe you're right,
like had made the delivery system. I can't remember for sure. Not important. Moving on.
Yeah. So they meet and they talk and everything. They're talking about what's going on in the city. There are Fire Nation terrorists kind of trying to weaken inside the city. At this point too, it's good to note that Admiral Zhao, Commander Zhao. Has some word that the Avatar could be at Omashu.
Right.
And he wants to send out word to people. And Zuko's like, no.
We got
to
keep this under wraps.
Keep it under wraps. Uncle Iroh and I will go. And Zhao's kind of okay with that because he's like, you know how dangerous it is. it is for Fire Nation people to be
right in the Earth Kingdom.
Yeah, especially in Omashu, because how strict they are. So they're heading it to Omashu as well, and they do get in there. I just want to kind of point that out, that they're in the city as well.
They don't get there till later in the episode, though. But they're heading that way.
They're going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's funny, like, that scene with Zhao and Iroh and Zuko, you know, Zhao, I love Zhao, by the way. We've already established this. Great. But you can see him kind of sowing the seeds of, like, his plans. Like, he has plans in his head. He wants to make certain things unfold and happen. And you can see him doing that in this scene, because he's like, you know, he knows if he says, oh, well, you know, let me just spread some word to some contacts or whatever, that Zuko's not going to be cool with it. But he also knows that Iroh is a strategist.
Yeah.
And also he can play into Iroh being kind of like the, like, Zhao knows he's the bad cop and he's using Iroh as, like, the good cop. He's like, look, I understand what you're saying, respectfully, but if we can maybe just say something to a couple key people, and they don't need to know everything, but I'll just tell them what, they'll tell us what we need to know, we'll tell them what they need to know, you know. And Iroh's like, that's a good idea. So he's already, you know, kind of playing his cards well here to make moves later, which is exactly how Zhao was in the animated series. So I'm loving Zhao in here. And I know you keep calling him Admiral Zhao, and at least in the show, he gets there eventually. He does become Admiral Zhao.
That's who he is in my heart, all right? Yeah.
But anyway.
It's also a good thing to note right now how Zuko is treating his crew, because he has his, like, captain of the ship or whatever.
Right.
Kind of give him, like, hey, I heard some things about Commander Zhao when he was coming up through training. And Zuko is real pissed off. He's like, did I ask you any questions?
Right.
Get the F out of here, son. And he goes out, and Iroh's like, he was just trying to help, man.
Well, yeah, but he corrects
him. Zuko was like, well, he's gossiping about a commanding officer.
Right.
And so Zuko's still, like, too by the book.
Right. Well, because he wants to do everything the way it should be, because he wants
to be Fire Lord.
Well, that, but he wants to gain the respect of his father.
Yeah.
So he wants everything to be as it is. And this is an important thing that he says there, too. You know, he says to Iroh, after he says, well, this guy was gossiping about a superior officer, that shouldn't be happening. You know, we're still the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
But
even out here.
Exactly. He says, even out here. But then you see his face kind of, he almost gets a little sad, because he's realizing how far away from home he is at that point.
Yeah.
So.
Not physically and emotionally.
Hey.
Yeah. Just two guys on a couch talking about deeper stuff.
You know.
But yeah, so let's go back to Omashu. Basically, there's rumors of where the Fire Nation terrorists are meeting. And the little kid, what was his name again?
Teo.
He's going to keep telling me that, because I'm going to forget it again. Invites Aang to say, hey, well, let's take the updraft in the morning up to this cave that I hear about.
Right.
And his dad's like, well, you're supposed to help me with this. And Sokka's like, I'll help you.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's working on, like, a design for one of his
like inventions.
His many inventions. Yeah, because he's like an engineer, tinkerer, inventor type dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah, Team Avatar kind of gets split here. Sokka sticks with the mechanist. Aang goes with Teo, and then Katara ends up going on a little adventure herself.
Right, which actually kind of connects to the mechanist. So, Which route do you want to take first?
Let's go Katara first.
All right,
because I feel like there's some cool stuff that happens there that I want to get into that made me like this episode. So I want to start there.
Let's ride that train then. All right. Hitting the thing. We're going off. Okay. So Katara follows the mechanist because he kind of leaves.
No.
No. Okay. So
no.
Go for it.
So Katara goes out into Omashu.
Yeah.
And she meets up with the guy who got them in there.
Oh, so you missed something, brother. That's how they meet up, is because she sees the mechanist doing something.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're
so
right.
The mechanist,
this
is important to the story. The mechanist.
I thought they had met first and then saw that.
No. So Katara sees the Mechanist handing a piece of paper to a guy who looks a little shady. A
little bit.
Behind a cart.
Hooded, yeah. You know, real skeevy dude.
Yeah. So she starts to kind of walk out from behind where she's hiding to see this to kind of probably go confront him. And a hand grabs her.
Yeah.
Nice and gentle, like, back down. And it is the guy that she rode in the cart with.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, the Mechanist is actually helping out the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
Giving them some inventions, giving them information.
Yeah, selling them secrets.
Yeah. And it's kind of, we'll find a layer to keep him alive and like keep them safe, technically. But this person turns out to be a very good character. He's like, hey, why don't you come with me and we'll stop these guys.
Right.
Don't go home and get some more people. Come with me. I'm on a mission to stop this person.
Yeah. Katara wants to be able to get Aang and Sokka and be like, okay, here's what's going down. Let me tell you about our new friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, no, we'll handle this.
So he drops down a little bag, unwraps it, and you see his two blades that he has that are long and curved. And if you're an animated fan, a fan of the animated show, you're like,
I know exactly who this is.
This is Jet.
Yeah.
Yeah, she asks, who are you? And he's like, you can call me Jet.
Right.
And if you're a fan of the animated show, that hyped you up. Because Jet's a pretty big character. And when you first meet him, you really like him.
Yeah. So I liked him here.
Yeah.
Like
the actor plays him really well, has that cockiness to him and
right,
everything. And
right.
Still fun. So they go off on their little adventure to track down this Fire Nation spy. My question to you is, so they get to these woods.
Right.
Are they still inside the walls of Amashu?
They don't make that clear.
Is there a forest?
If I had to guess, it seems like they're outside of Amashu. But to get outside, you've got to go through the gates.
And then you got
to
come back in.
So maybe it's just one of those things where like they're kind of assuming we realize they got out somehow.
Yeah.
But it's not clearly spelled out.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's definitely not a forest in Amashu.
Amashu. No.
Yeah. Plus, the scene that happens after that where you meet everyone else
can't be in Amashu.
There's no way. But they find the spy dude in the woods.
Yeah, and I love it because he's like, you guys were super noisy or whatever. And
yeah, I heard you coming a mile away.
Just like, it doesn't matter. You're outnumbered. He's all cocky about it. And then he's like, am I really? And then some more Fire Nation spies jump down.
Yeah, he's like, I brought friends.
Yeah. So they get into a little scuffle, you know?
Yeah, but this was one of my favorite parts of the episode. I had mentioned in the episode before that the fighting with the Kyoshi warriors, I wasn't a big fan of. I felt it was kind of forced. It felt kind of too slow at some points. The fighting itself, I didn't like. And I don't know why there was such a big difference, in my opinion anyway, but this fight felt way better.
It felt organic in a way. And even the way, like, even like a fireball gets shot at this guy who's not a bender, Jet.
Right.
But he has those swords and he kind of knows what to do by swiping it away and moving to the side.
Right.
And doing some moves. It just, yeah. And you know what? I can't remember, but I feel like there wasn't that much slow motion in this fight.
No. It was all kind of real time.
Which made it better.
Yeah.
But they're holding their own. Him and Katara are. But then they're
Katara even does a little bending.
Yeah.
You know?
And, but they start to get overwhelmed by the fight a little bit.
Right.
And turns out, Jet also brought friends.
Sure did.
And he brought Pipsqueak?
Yeah.
Don't know the other names.
The Duke.
And then who's the...
I can't remember the third one.
The guy who shoots the arrows.
Yeah. I can't remember the third one. But it's funny because Katara... So there's you know, essentially small, medium, large. And Katara looks at the smallest one and goes, oh, thanks, Pipsqueak. And the biggest guy, he goes, that's the Duke. I'm Pipsqueak.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... very reminiscent of like, like a Peter Pan Lost Boys type situation with these kids.
It really is. You know, that actually happens in the show.
Yeah.
Word for word. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they end up winning the fight because of the guy who shoots the arrow at the end, I think saves them at the end. But they all do
their part. They all do their part. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And
exactly.
You can see they're very organized in this fight.
Yeah.
And then they're getting right ahead. And well, what about the Fire Nation guys? And he's like, Pipsqueak knows how to take out the trash.
Yeah. Well, see, and this is... So I want to touch on the fighting here, you know,
keep
because,
going, man. Do it.
One, again, I felt that there was a good balance between the martial arts and the bending. And there was obviously an emphasis with the firebenders on the bending, but just overall, it blended so well. I don't know what other people are feeling. Maybe they're not agreeing with me. But I liked the fighting in this, and I don't know why it's so inconsistent, at least in what I'm seeing and what I'm liking and disliking. Like the first episode, that opening, loved the fighting there. Mm-hmm. It was great. Even when the Firebenders had gone to the Air Temple, that was great. Second episode, Kyoshi Warriors, I didn't like it.
It was okay.
It wasn't terrible, but I just didn't like it as much, which was disappointing because, as I mentioned, the Kyoshi Warriors are like, as far as non-benders go, some of, if not the best fighters in the whole world.
100%. Right? Especially Zuki.
Right. And then you come here, and this fight with Jet and the Firebenders, I liked it again. I thought it was good. So I'm wondering how fights are going to go later, because there's other characters, benders and non-benders, that I'm like, man, they have to get these right. Because it's just, for me, it's going to be so integral to see certain people. One of the people that I'm really concerned about, we actually do meet in this episode, and I think it's like right before, right after this scene, which I want to touch on. But Katara, after they win the fight, whatever, Katara and Jet and the new crew, they go and they find the rest of Jet's crew. There's a bunch more people.
They've got almost like a small village in the woods.
Right, right. And it's a bunch of...
Reminds me of the... Is it the Ewoks that got bridges up on the trees and stuff?
They do. They do, yeah. The huts. But it's a bunch of younger kids. You know, they're mostly either very small children or like teenagers and stuff.
Yeah.
And essentially, Jet tells Katara that pretty much everyone there has been orphaned throughout the war with the Firebenders. Their families, their parents, you know, they all have either been killed or, you know, have been separated from or whatever. So again, it's got that like Peter Pan Lost Boys type vibe,
yeah,
where it's like Jet is kind of Peter Pan and the rest of them are all the Lost Boys, and they're just out in the woods living and, you know, whatever. And Katara says, oh my gosh, you guys live here? And she's like, well, this is one of our camps, but this is the one that served us the best so far, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a bunch of kids who are essentially fighting the Fire Nation. And Jet tells Katara that they're the Freedom Fighters.
Yeah. Freedom Fighters.
Which, I mean, it's cool. It's very cool to see. I shouldn't say this because it's like, oh yeah, it's cool to see kids fighting in a war.
All these orphans fighting in a war at
but
young
it's
age.
It's cool to see these kids who, despite their circumstance in life, they're
not
happy.
Giving up. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're happy to
they're
be with
a good
each
time
other
in this village. You're not like down in dumps about everything.
Right, right. But yeah, that was a cool scene with the fight and then meeting the Lost Boys and stuff. Or, well, the Freedom Fighters,
I should say. Yeah, and that was good. And they have a nice conversation because in the beginning of the episode, Katara's having some issues with her bending. She's not quite getting it right.
Right.
So Jet and her have a conversation, and every time she tries to bend and use her memories and her emotions that Aang teaches her, she thinks about her mom dying to
right.
Fire Nation. And Jet's like, well, why don't you try thinking about the good stuff? And
yeah,
that helps her bend a little better. So then there's a little romantic stuff going on that
little bit
helps her
little
fall
bit
for him even more.
Which does happen in the animated show too.
Oh, 100%.
To an extent.
Like she vouches for Jet hardcore in the animated show.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
So they have their moment there.
Right. I do want to talk about, and I can't remember if it's right before this scene or right after, but there's another scene then with Azula where she's practicing her archery.
Yes.
And the note that Commander Zhao had given the Fire Lord, she has it up on her target, and she's shooting with an arrow. And she's talking to her two friends there.
Mei and Ty Lee.
Yes.
And I know exactly who you're talking about for the fighting.
Yes.
You're talking about Ty Lee.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, so...
Like, Ty Lee...
She is...
Ty Lee was my... Of that trio, was my favorite.
Oh, really? See,
I love Ty Lee.
But Ty Lee's fighting is dope because she's an acrobat.
Yeah, she's not a bender either.
No.
Which is crazy that she's not a bender, but she's like in the Fire Nation just chilling.
Because she's best friends with Azula.
Right, but it's like the Fire Nation is very much like, we are Fire Nation and Fire Nation only. So the fact that there's a non-Fire Nation person there.
Mei's not either. She's very accurate with like throwing knives.
Right, right.
But Ty Lee, we don't have to go too deep, but she's an acrobat who hits like weak points in the body that makes your body just go limp.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how are they going to do that?
Dude,
I
know. I hope
they
pull Ty
Lee off.
You've
got to train this girl for like 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you beat them and Azula's pissed off and they, you know, Azula so far so good. I'm fine with her.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you need to talk about that group?
Yeah, I just want to touch on one thing there. So Azula, obviously, super evil, super conniving. Ty Lee, while
she's playful,
evil, she's a nice person aside from her being evil.
Yeah, she's very much like the
bubbly and like
the bubbly popular girl group type of girl.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then May is kind of like
emo.
Yes. Yeah, she's very much like the emo chick in the group.
Monotone speaking. She's like, well, if you're so mad, why don't you just, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't mind the acting by these three girls. I don't know how much I feel they look like the characters on the animated show.
They don't look like.
But as long as you play your character well, who cares?
Yeah. I think so far as how they got them to look, these three were probably the weakest, but I don't care because I think Azula so far has done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Lee, you know, they don't get all of her bubbliness yet, but I'm hoping they reveal that later. And you know, May, she was
very monotone in her speaking, and that hit May on the head.
But this trio, I feel, is one of the best sets of characters in the animated show. Mm-hmm. So I hope they pull them off, and I hope they pull them off well. I'm very interested to see, and I don't want to give anything away, but I'm very interested to see how they're going to pull off Azula's bending.
Yeah. We'll get into that later. Azula's where I'm worried about fighting.
Yes.
So
let's go back then. So yeah, Katara and her whole situation is kind of finished at this point because
she's hanging out with them at their
right,
group, and
right.
She's getting her flirt on.
Right. But she also realizes then, so if Jet's telling her, well, hey, the Mechanist is really a traitor, he's a bad guy, then she's like, okay, well, I definitely have to go and tell Aang and Sokka because, you know, they're either with him or around him. I don't want them to be in danger.
Yeah.
So let's move on
to
the next one.
Let's go to Aang.
I think we should go to Sokka.
Sokka's going to be quick and easy.
Exactly.
Okay, so
exactly.
Sokka then, while this whole adventure for Katara is going on, Mechanist is back at the house.
Right.
Sokka and him are working on inventions while Aang and
Teo
are going on their little adventure, which we'll get to. But real quick, it's not long, but I think it's important.
Impactful, for sure.
Sokka is helping him, and he's like, tell him, well, maybe if you get an air vent here and stuff like this, this will all work. And the Mechanist is like, oh, wow, you're really good at this. I bet your dad's super proud of you. And he's like, well, my dad, this isn't his stuff. He's more about being a warrior and being in fights and all that. And he's like, okay, well, did you do this stuff for your people at home? And he's like, well, I did it to help us.
I think it was like their fishing boats or something like
more
that.
More accurately.
Yeah.
And he's like, but other than that, I mean, my job and my role is a warrior to protect the village. And the Mechanist is very nice about it. He's like, well, your dad would be proud of you.
Absolutely.
You saw this, you know, and he's really calm about it and kind of boosting Sokka up. Like, hey, you don't have to be only a fighter.
Yeah.
You just be who you are and be the best you, I feel like, is what he's really trying to teach him here. And even though it's short, I think this is big for Sokka's character, right? Because I don't think at this point he knows who he is.
Well, that and in also in his village, he's obviously the protector, but he's not good at being a protector, and he knows that.
Yeah.
So it really takes a toll on his confidence. So having this little interaction with the Mechanist and him boosting up, even though it's not the aspect that he wants to be, like Sokka wants to be the warrior, the protector, and him saying, hey, like, your engineering side is something you shouldn't, like, discount.
Right, don't bury that down.
Right, right. Highlight that, and that kind of builds Sokka up a little bit.
Yeah.
So while it is a short scene, I think it's important for his character development.
100%. I really like the scene. It still kind of connects. I don't know if that happens with him or not in the show. I can't remember. I feel like it does. But
I can't remember. Like, honestly, I remember the Mechanist being in the show, but... And I even remember Teo, but I just don't remember their importance or not importance.
And everything.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I do remember from the show Sokka being good with this kind of stuff, also becoming a very good leader and strategist.
Yeah, I just don't remember if the interaction between him and the Mechanist happened.
I don't remember either. I'm sure he did some kind of tinkering with him, but it wasn't like this important.
Right.
But great part of the show. I really like that. And then, so while that's going on, Teo,
got it.
Just took me, what, the fourth time's the charm. And Aang are catching that updraft, and they're going up to this cave. And they're having a little conversation as they're walking through about what's been happening, what's been going on. Kind of also, Teo puts pressure on Aang. Like, now that you're here, we can take down the Fire Nation because you're here now.
Right.
So, I mean, that, and for a 12-year-old kid, that's tough pressure.
It is
the Avatar.
It is, but I also feel that with each passing episode, Aang is kind of realizing more and more how important of a role he has to play in this war. You know, obviously we all know from the opening, they say, you know, for years, for centuries, the nations all lived in peace, and then the Fire Nation attacked, whatever. So I think each time an episode happens and Aang's meeting a new group of people and seeing how oppressed they are, either directly by the Fire Nation, like here, or in the case of Kyoshi, them having to basically isolate themselves because of the Fire Nation.
Yeah.
He's seeing each time he meets a new group of people, like, okay, I have to really come into my own here because these people are you know, not doing well. And so even in the beginning of this episode, he says to
Katara, I'm not
Katara,
leaving Amashu.
Right.
I'm staying.
Right. And I need to help people one at a time. So it's, you know, you kind of get the sense here, each episode he's going to meet a new group of people, or maybe every couple of episodes,
to help,
and help them in some way along his journey.
Right. And I love that about Aang. He's not like, well, I've got to get to the Northern Water Tribe. No, I'm here and these people are in trouble. I need to.
Right. I need to help them now.
Yeah. So they're in this cave. They start talking about what's happening, all that stuff. They get to the end of it and they find there was a meeting place. And there's still some supplies left over.
Right. From the people who had bombed the marketplace earlier in the episode.
Yeah. So what they find is a jar of green stuff. Turns out it's an explosive.
Blasting jelly.
Blasting jelly, which is actually from the show.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, we got to figure out why they brought it here. Can we kind of track anything? Aang's looking around and he sees something.
Yeah. Which at first I didn't know what it was.
No, me neither.
I think that part could have been plotted out a bit better.
Yeah, I think so. Real quick, it is a hoodie basically, and it was the same. What it is, it's the same hoodie that Jet was wearing when he took him into the city. So he left it there. They should have had him wear like a very specific hoodie.
Yeah, because essentially, when he's wearing it,
it's just a brown cloak.
It's just, yeah, it's just a cloak.
Yeah.
You know, and even when Aang's in this cave and he picks it up, and I will say this, I know you've harped on the acting quite a bit. This scene was not great.
I think also the wording probably didn't help with how they said it. He's like, it was too long. It was like, it wasn't the Fire Nation who did this, it was someone else. Or like,
well, even aside from that, like up to this point where they're going through the cave, I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then once Aang finds the blasting jelly, and then you see him and he's like,
yeah.
And Teo's just like, what is it you found?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? You know, and then he's just like, he picks up this cloth. But you're right. It should have been something that was more specific that you knew then in that moment. Okay, this is something that belonged to Jet.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you just see him pick up this cloth and you're just like, well,
he mentions
what significance is that? And he says, okay, I know it wasn't the Fire Nation, but then
that's what he should have said. It was something weird, but he should have been like, it wasn't the Fire Nation. But still, it should have been like,
should have been more obvious.
Like with a logo on it that he had on, or
something,
whatever.
Something. Yeah. Because, you know, you can kind of draw some conclusions here, but it should have, In your opinion, I know a lot of stuff has been too on the nose,
this
or
was
too obvious.
Way off the nose.
Yeah, and it should have been like, okay, this is clearly, we know that it's Jet.
Right. So as an audience member, you're like, oh shit. You know,
cause right, because now you're thinking,
You're worried about Katara.
Right. If they would have been like, okay, let me easily paint this picture so the audience knows this is Jet. Now you're worried about Katara. Now you're also thinking, okay, well, is Jet really a bad guy, and is the Mechanist a bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that would have been a better way to play that specific scene.
100%. So now we get back to the Mechanist's house, which he's not home, and neither is Teo. But
which, by the way, weird as shit.
Yeah.
You just got these strangers. Yes, they're good guys, whatever,
but
you believe in them.
The Avatar.
But you're just leaving them chill in your house while you're not there?
You gotta trust the Avatar,
I guess.
But yeah, and Katara gets there, and she's like, Aang and Sokka are already talking about the problem at hand, that Jet is
is a bad guy.
Is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Katara comes in. It's like, I know who bombed the building.
Yeah, and they all kind of look at each other confused, like, well, we do too.
Yeah, like, how'd you know?
Right.
And so then they flash forward. They don't, which I like this. They don't sit there and explain to each other what they found
right
in front of us. We don't need to do that.
Yeah, they spared us that.
They flash forward past that, and Katara's like, no, it's not Jet. It can't be Jet. Like, you know, and they're arguing about
it. Yeah, he's a freedom fighter, yada, yada.
Yeah, and he's one of the good guys. Acting in this scene also a little off sometimes.
A little bit.
Not
a little bit.
But Sokka's being the big brother, kind of being condescending and talking down to her. It's like, you do this all the time. And she's like, you do this all the time. It's like a little brotherly.
Very, very much sibling rivalry type action going.
And I actually like this part when she storms out. He's like, where are you going? He's like, to prove you're an idiot or something like that.
Yeah.
But then a little Sokka comedy comes in. He's like, well, I don't need you to prove that.
Yeah.
You know? So she goes to meet with Jet. And she's pretty much explaining, like, you're not this person.
Right.
I know you're not.
Right.
And he's kind of like, well, no, I'm not bad, but
I have some ulterior motives.
Yeah. I'm on a mission right now. And she's like, well, what is it? And it's like, well,
we're going to take out the garbage, I think is what he says, right?
Yeah, he's going to take out the garbage. So he wants to pretty much kill the Mechanist. But in doing so, he's going to have that blasting jelly for the Mechanist, and he's going to blow up when he meets with the King.
Right, because we forgot to mention, earlier in the episode, I think it was when Katara and Jet were like in the little Lost Boys area, the Freedom Fighters camp.
Yeah.
He says that the King has gotten feeble and old, and, you know, that he's lost his way in this whole war situation, and that he's allowed essentially the Earth Kingdom to get weak, which has then let the Fire Nation to creep in and cause these attacks.
Yeah.
Or cause all these problems.
Yep.
Because obviously you start to piece together here with everything going on. Not all the problems that the Earth Kingdom has been having have been because of the Fire Nation. Some of them are, sure.
Right.
But really, it's the Freedom Fighters who are doing this to make it seem like the Fire Nation is doing it to either rally support or to make people afraid.
Right.
Whatever.
Which is actually, he mentions that at this moment when she's trying to ask him, like, what's going on. He said, well, that building was a meeting place for the Fire Nation, but it also made it look like the Fire Nation did it.
Right.
But she's like, you hurt innocent people. And that's basically what she says to him now. Like, hey, I know you want to take down the Mechanist for doing this, but you're going to, one, kill the King and kill who knows how many innocent people when you do this. And he's like, that's the price of freedom.
Right.
And it's like, damn. And I'll talk about how this compares and why I this is okay with me, but I like the show better later in our comparison, the animated show better. But she's like, okay, he is bad, and goes back to
Aang and Sokka.
Aang and Sokka. And they pretty much come up with a plan, like, hey, we got to get up there and stop this from happening.
Yeah.
So as they're going out, our boy Zuko shows up. I love Sokka's like, this guy again?
Yeah,
And Aang's like, I'll handle him. You guys go do your thing. So I first want to go with the Zuko fight.
Yes.
Okay? Not a bad fight.
Okay, all right.
I really didn't mind it. A little slow pace sometimes and everything like that. There's a part where they get into
the curtains. I did not like that part.
Here's the thing. They could have made me love it, but it just wasn't done. It was super quick and weird.
Yeah. It was unnecessary.
It almost felt like a romantic fight for a second, too. It was really weird.
So I agree. If they would have choreographed that fight better, it could have been awesome.
Exactly.
Because when they start the fight, Iroh tells him, don't use your firebending because it's going to attract the guards.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't need firebending to take care of this child. You know, so at first, they're just fighting hand-to-hand. And, like, Aang is using some airbending, but it's more so in a defensive way to either evade attacks or this, that, whatever. And Zuko's kind of giving him the business a little bit.
Oh, yeah, Zuko's
You know, they're hand-in-hand, or I should say neck-at-neck at some points. But then there's other points where Zuko just gets in a good kick or a good jab.
Yeah.
I agree the fight wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. The curtain scene could have been awesome because the aerial shot that they had from above, I'm like, yo, how dope would it be if they, you know, were using these, like
I think
we know what it made me think of that could have been good is if it was something like a Jackie Chan fight, because Jackie Chan in his fights used a lot of props, used a lot of the environment and stuff to make his fights look cool. And if they could have done something like that,
that would have been good.
Would have been dope.
That would have been fine with me. I also think of Jason Statham. There was one of the movies where he uses his sweater and he like wraps people around and he's fighting like that.
Probably one of the Transporter movies, I think maybe.
It was. And it was on oil. But here I was like.
First Transporter.
Yeah.
Best scene.
Very good scene. Great movie. But as they're doing it, like you can tell, like for a moment, like Aang wraps him up, and then Zuko makes a move to unwrap himself, and I'm like, okay, this could be really cool. Like they're trying to trap each other,
right,
in this fight. But it felt more like a weird, like I said, it almost felt romantic in a way, and it was very short and quick.
Yeah,
and then they come back out in the fight.
I know what you're saying when you say romantic. Like
it was like flowy, colorful. Yeah. And I don't think the music was even that tough at that time.
It was. I think they could have cut that entire scene out. I mean, it was only all of 10 or 15 seconds.
Right. That's a fight. That would be the whole fight.
Right.
Yeah. The coolest part of the fight for me was probably the plates. Aang hovers plates up in the air with his air bending, and he starts like sliding them, disc throwing them at him.
Yeah, and Zuko has like a bow.
He goes and finds
a staff or something.
A broom and breaks the broom.
Is that what it, okay? Yeah.
Or he pulls off. It might be like holding up a tent, but then he starts blocking it, and then he gets hit in the head with one, which was funny. But overall, fight's okay. But he does end up using fire bending.
Yeah, I forget. Something happens. He says, like they're having a conversation. And Aang's like, why are you doing this? Like, what's the problem? And he's like, is this why you've been looking for me for 3 years? And that's where Zuko now realizes.
You have the notebook?
Right. Yeah. And that's what gets him upset, because he knows the notebook was missing, but he doesn't know that Aang took it.
Yeah, and it's funny because Aang feels guilty for taking it.
Right.
Which
right.
I love.
And that's when he starts using the firebending then, because he's pissed.
Yeah, and it catches a lot of stuff on fire. So now the guards are coming after them. So basically, Zuko has to get out of there.
Right.
And Aang's now... being good Aang, he's not chasing after Zuko.
He's putting out all the fires.
So I want to hit these two things quickly. Aang puts out all the fires. He actually gets trapped by the Earth Kingdom guards. They wrap Earth around his feet.
Yeah, he can't move. He
can't move or do anything. And he's just kind of like, okay, you know, you got me. Zuko's leaving, and all these guards are looking for firebenders. So they're like, right. close the gates. And as he's leaving, he finds Uncle Iroh. And Uncle Iroh's like, we got to go. And he realizes, like, I don't think we can get out of here together.
Right.
So he's like, you go. Get back to the ship or something like that. And I kind of like, it's weird, but Zuko, he's still a teenager. So he looks at him and goes,
What? Yeah.
You know, in a weird teenager voice. I'm like, at first I was like, that's weird. But the second time watching it, I was like, oh, I get that.
Yeah.
And basically, Iroh sacrifices himself. He's just going, for the Fire Nation. And
Fast
fire, which I love seeing Uncle Iroh do firebending.
Dude, well, so in this moment... and he's blasting all this fire, like, straight up. Two things. One, we get a taste of how powerful Iroh is. Because even though he's not lighting a bunch of stuff on fire, like, it's a huge fire.
And you know what? Barely any effort.
Right,
he's not
right.
doing any movement. He just goes...
Right. And two, you see that Iroh does it in the air, but he did that because he didn't want to hurt anybody. He didn't want to set stuff on fire. He did it... one, to cause a distraction so that Zuko could get away, but then two, because he doesn't want to harm anyone, and that's a big part of Iroh and his character. So we're starting to see the beginning of his arc here, I think.
I think, yeah. Well, you even see it when he's talking to Zuko in the beginning of the episode when they get to Omashu, and he's like, well, first thing we got to do is, he goes, oh, look, and he's like talking about food and the tea and stuff. Yeah. And he's,
which I think they also did when they went to Kiyoshi. Didn't they? Like, they're like, or...
No.
Somewhere. Or maybe I'm mixing
something. Oh, it was up when they get to the port for the Fire Nation.
Right, that's what it was. He's, like, going to the little food places. And I feel like this is probably going to be, like, a running theme. Like, anytime they go somewhere, it's
he gets
like,
off topic.
Yeah, Iroh's going to be like, oh, some food over here.
Yeah, he's like, this is this. And he's like, what's that called again? And he goes like this. And it's good for... And the guy selling it is like, for this, you know?
Right, right.
It's really funny. But the other thing to show is that's how much he cares for Zuko. He's always willing to sacrifice himself
right.
for Zuko's safety, which we'll find out kind of why that is later on, I would assume. But so that's done. Zuko gets out. Weird slow motion walk away from the town, I don't know, as the doors are closing.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Huge stone doors that obviously earthbenders are moving to close the gates here.
Yeah, but he gets out, and we'll go to Katara and Sokka. They're trying to get up to where the king is, which is
Yeah, top of the mountain.
It's like Minas Tirith up there. You got to go all the way up, which is Lord of the Rings reference for all my cool people. So they're trying to find a quick way up. Well, there's a delivery system in Omashu, which is basically slides that have carts in them, but they're stone. So they can just be bent up this huge hill, up this huge slide.
Yeah.
And it all goes to the top, is what they know, because Aang mentions that when they get in there. So they get in one, and they're riding up, and it's a cool scene.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. And they're like, well, this goes to the top. Let's ride the top. But then they see, like, somebody.
There's an earthbender.
Smacking them.
Yeah. Just getting the carts off, you know,
that track.
The track. Right, right.
It's like, I think that's the end there. So they have to.
They jump to another one.
The cart that's below them. And I was like, okay, pretty. This is, like, their first real, like, deathly move they make in the show. And it's like, hey, you're on a real adventure now, kids.
Right.
So they get to the other one. It's a bit epic. They hit it, and they get up to the top, and they see that the mechanist, his briefcase has been switched.
Right. He ran into Pipsqueak.
Pipsqueak and Duke.
Who caused a distraction. They switched his briefcase out with one that's filled with blasting jelly.
Yeah, and you can see, like, the green jelly dripping out of it. So they're like, oh, crap, how are we going to stop this? And they're looking around, and as they're talking, the mechanist is talking to the king. They see in a pine tree randomly in the courtyard is Longshot.
That's who it was. Yeah. Longshot. Yes.
I figured that on my own. I didn't check IMDb at all.
Yeah.
Has a fire arrow aimed over at the mechanist, and he shoots it. So slow motion had to come into play.
Had to.
We couldn't do. And I'm not a director, but I'll tell you how I wish it would have went. Katara sees water, and she's slowly pulling it up. And then there's the arrow. Then she's pulling it up. And then there's the arrow. And
right.
She's pulling it up. And finally, she slowly throws it. And then it shows it for a split second really fast. And then it goes back to slow-mo. Fire goes through the water. So the fire goes out. And the arrow hits the briefcase. But there's no fire.
Right.
So it can't blow up. And they save the Earth King.
Yeah. They're like, protect the king. They pull him back.
And the mechanist is confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anything else after this?
No, that's pretty much it.
Getting trapped.
Yeah.
So real quick, I think you like the fight scenes better in this one because they weren't slow motion.
Yes.
And here's my thing is I understand when slow motion should work. She should be doing everything in real time to throw that water, and then once it gets to the water in front of the arrow, that's when
then it goes slow mo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm. It's a picky thing, but whatever.
So I want to go through one last thing before we
hold on, there is one thing we missed.
Ooh.
During this whole episode, Azula does add Commander Zhao.
A note
that says, hey, I know you've been helping Zuko with this, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I think she is pretty much saying.
She pretty much says to him like, hey, if you help me out, I will remember this and I'll owe you a favor.
And move you up the ranks. Right. Basically.
Also, though, I want to know what's going on with the Avatar, but also exactly what's going on with Zuko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's now. She's got her hand in the game here.
Right.
And Zhao gets a note and somebody asks him, like, what's going on? He's like, great things are happening.
Yeah. He essentially tells his number two,
or whatever,
you know, our time has come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you can see his plan is working as he planned it to work out.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
So before we get into something I want to talk about quick, they show the king and if you watched the animated series, you know who the king is when you see him.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about who he is or anything like that. But this is a very different way that they introduced him here than they did in the animated show. And this is what I want to get into. This is where in this episode is where I've had a shift of perspective on the show in general.
Okay.
So the beginning of the episode when they show Azula going with that, you know, faction of rebels in the Fire Nation, I don't recall that happening in the original. And, you know, obviously, you know, you confirmed that when we talked about it earlier. And I'm thinking, man, did this happen? And, you know, even after we watched or we discussed the last episode, I thought, man, I kind of want to go back and watch the animated series just so I can have a basis for comparison. And, you know, it's not whatever. But I went and I said, you know what? No. I don't want to go watch it now because if anything, that's going to make me nitpick things. It's going to make me say, well, they didn't do this, or they should have done that, you know, this, that, whatever. So I don't want to go watch it. And I'm trying now to not necessarily forget what happened in the original, but allow this show to kind of exist on its own. Because this episode in general pulled in a lot of stuff from very different parts of the original. I mean, this was almost kind of like two or three different storylines in one episode, which took place over a number of episodes in the animated show.
What I will say is I like, and I'm sorry I cut you off here, but I like how you had three paths and they came back.
Right.
You know, I think that was pretty well done.
And the shift in perspective that I've had here is that I'm looking at it now much less of a remake and more of its own new story in the Avatar universe.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to help me to not care as much about this versus the old show. And I think we discussed it earlier. I think a lot of the hate that we're seeing online is a lot of people that are making those comparisons and saying, you know, well,
they want exactly
right. And there are some people who are, you know, not fans of some of the acting or the effects or this, that, whatever, which is fine. Everyone's going to have their own opinions on that kind of stuff. But I just think if people in general keep comparing it to the old show, they're going to be disappointed. They're not going to get what they want.
Right. And especially people who the old show holds a special place in a lot of people's heart.
Sure, sure.
So like I want them to do this right, but I want to do it in their own way.
Yeah.
And I've stepped back as well myself, but there are things for me as just like a viewer that get me. And this is a viewer who has seen the animated show. There's some things I still need to stay consistent, but there's also like I think the dialogue in this show sometimes is really weird.
It's a little rough sometimes.
So that was, and when I watch a show and the dialogue's bad, it just throws me off for some reason. But again, not a bad episode.
Yeah.
I do want to say like there are some things that like so with the big difference here is like you said, this is multiple storylines. Mechanus, fine. That was like a almost like a filler episode.
Yeah.
Jet, not a filler episode, I don't think.
No.
And
we don't know, well, you might know, but his story may continue on here.
It may. And I don't think it will in this season, but he plays a big part in a different book, actually.
Right.
But when we meet Jet, it's a few episodes, I want to say. It might be one or two. But he actually, so what he does that pisses Katara and Team Avatar off is there's a village that a high commanding officer of the Fire Nation is going to go to, and it's just an earthbending village, and they're going to blast a dam open to flood and kill everybody in that village, including the people who live there.
Right.
But in the show, he makes you question, like, you know what? This is a side of war that maybe does have to happen. And in this one, it's more like, no, you're just bad.
Yeah.
You know, but in the show, you got this real deep feeling of like, one, Katara, Sokka is always against it, and Aang kind of understands it, but he's obviously a monk, so he doesn't want any violence anyway. But as a viewer, you go, I mean, I get it. Sometimes, like, war sucks.
It does.
And in this one, you didn't get that full emotion from him. I think the actor was great. I think everything else was really good with that. That's my big comparison here. I know you're going to have to get two or three stories in each episode that you would used to. Matter of fact, my favorite episode is the next one, and that has multiple stories in it. So I can't wait for you to watch it. But not bad. Again, an up and down ride for me is this, but I'm happy. Like, this show, I wanted another season, and I'm glad they greenlit
seasons. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine they're probably not going to start shooting for a while.
I don't know, man. This is about kids in the war, not about young adults.
Well, I think Netflix is probably going to realize just from everything that's going on with Stranger Things,
they're
going to
get older no matter what.
Right, right. So I don't think they're going to start shooting for a while, but I bet that they're going to shoot seasons 2 and 3 like kind of continuously.
They might. And
then maybe kind of edit stuff later or maybe do reshoots later or something. I don't know.
There's a certain thing of importance that is mentioned that I won't say to you because you know what it is. But it kind of makes you think, yeah, we don't have to worry about their age as much.
Right.
But I'll wait till we finish this season to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else to note on the episode for you?
No. Again, I liked this episode more than I liked the second episode. if, you know, this pattern continues, I won't like the next episode, but you're saying
yeah,
that it's
so
a really,
I'm really
good one.
I'm curious how you're going to think about it.
So I'm excited to watch it. I have been saying I want to watch ahead and just watch the entire show. But I think for me, just for the podcast, for you guys,
sorry, that I couldn't hold it.
I want to just watch it week to week. And we've talked about this just in casual conversation or whatever. I like the fact that some of the streaming services are going back to episodic releases. I know they're doing it just as a money grab, because like, rather than having somebody sub for 1 month and watch an entire show and then be like, okay, well, we're not going to sub back, they're able to keep people for 2, 3, 4 months now, yeah, you know, at a time, which as a consumer sucks, but as a viewer, just going back to how things used to be, you know, before streaming
for a Thursday night, you know?
Right, yeah, right. You know, having that show that you can come back to week, even though this isn't one of those, that's how I'm watching it. And I just think it's cool.
Yeah, it is fun to do it that way. I just couldn't hold myself.
I hear you.
Which means the show is not that bad. I've got nothing else, man. I just kind of hope they can pick up the dialogue a little bit better. And I hope some episodes can be more of a upright, not yeah, a up and down.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. I do want to just say, once again, thank you to everybody who's been listening. We actually hit a milestone with our Avatar podcast quicker than we have with our podcast for The Boys, getting to 100 downloads overall,
wow,
of the show. So thank you to everyone who has listened so far. Please continue to listen.
Communicate with us, too.
Yes, hit us up. We are now, thanks to the legendary Sturba, on X/Twitter. So if that is your preferred social media site, follow us there. Hit us up with some comments. We're going to be posting there, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. We have full episodes of the podcast pretty consistently now on YouTube. They're going up a few days after the audio. So this show for Avatar, every Friday, you'll be able to hear this new episodes there. And then our podcast for The Boys every Sunday. So check us out. We finished season one of The Boys this week. So we're going to be starting season two and moving along right there to seasons three and Gen V in time for season four that releases this summer. But also, let us know what the next show you want us to watch is.
Yeah.
Avatar is only 8 episodes, so we're going to be done here in 5 more episodes, 5 weeks, and we'll need a new show to watch. We have some idea of some other shows we want to watch later in the year, but is there something that's coming up soon?
Maybe we can put a
that
poll
you want us to reach?
There.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know they do polls on X.
I've never really been into X, but maybe I'm going to have to get a little more familiar with it.
I'm
here.
All about triple X. I mean, what?
All right. Well, with that being said, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace.